Today is the disappearance day of Jiva Goswami, and I thought it would be appropriate to honor Jiva Goswami on his disappearance day. I was looking at the dates that Jiva Goswami was living. He was born in 1511, so at least from an American perspective, that's when Christopher Columbus was discovering that the world was round and that there's America over there. 1492. Columbus sailed the ocean blue. And over in India, Jiva Goswami is taking his birth to deliver love of Godhead. Quite a contrast. Jiva Goswami was born the son of Sri Ballabha, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later gave the name Anupam. So Anupam and Rupa and Sanatan Goswami were three brothers. Each of them engaged in the government of Nawab Hussein Shah out of obligation just to protect the Vaishnavas that lived under the king's rule. They took up that service because otherwise the king threatened, if you don't, that's okay, I'll just torture all the Vaishnavas in your on my kingdom. Either or, you take your pick. The lesser of two evils was that the Vaishnavas should be protected. And that meant taking up that service. While in government service, this is when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made his pilgrimage to Vrindavan via West Bengal, which means he wasn't planning to go to Vrindavan, because you don't go to Vrindavan by going through Bengal. His purpose actually was to give association to Rupa and Sanatan and Anupam. On that occasion in Ramakeli, some of the biographers of Jiva Goswami's life say that Jiva Goswami was just a very small infant at that time and had contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his first contact, and actually his only contact. Because in the course of his father and two uncles taking up a life of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after his father's demise, Jiva Goswami was raised in his town, his village, without father, and therefore didn't have the facility to go here and go there during Mahaprabhu's life. Very much like the description of Narada Muni when he's describing his previous life. As a small boy, Jiva Goswami had no interest in playing. Some of our little boys, they don't know what that means. But Jiva Goswami, his play was with Krishna dolls. And he would enact Krishna's pastimes with his Krishna dolls. And from his earliest years, he had superlative scholarship and great attraction for Lord Chaitanya, naturally so, because of his association and also because of his spiritual identity. In Gaura Gunadesh Deepika, the indication is that Jiva Goswami was Vilasa Manjari, a very intimate Manjari, in Srimati Radharani's entourage. So he had a natural attraction for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He heard, as a young man, wishing very much to go and visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had left this world. And he was feeling himself so unfortunate. The Lord of his life has left this world. He had a dream that night where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in his dream, chanting and dancing in ecstatic love, and told him, go to Vrindavan, where you can associate with your two uncles, Rupa and Sanatan. But on your way, no, it wasn't in the dream. So with his mother's permission, he left at once. And in the course of his travel, he came to Navadvip. And there in Navadvip, he was wanting to see at least the places where Lord Chaitanya performed his pastimes, which was only very recent had those pastimes been performed. But by the time he reached there, many of the Lord's associates were unable to bear seeing Navadvip in its same condition without Lord Chaitanya, following Lord Chaitanya's taking of sannyas and leaving, and then his leaving this world. So the original places were there, but there were not so many devotees to share with him what those places were in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So by divine arrangement, Lord Nityananda was present. Just happened to be present in Navadvip at the time. And without even introducing themselves to one another, Jiva Goswami understood who Lord Nityananda was, fell at his feet, paying totally submissive obeisances to Lord Nityananda, who picked Jiva Goswami up, young man, and embraced him. Jiva Goswami expressed his heart to Lord Nityananda, saying, I had no chance to see Lord Chaitanya. Although my whole life I've been hearing about Lord Chaitanya, and he's gone. Lord Nityananda said, I will take you on a pilgrimage to all the holy places where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit and perform his pastimes each day. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written a book, Navadvip Dham Parikrama, along with Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, describing this very pilgrimage. And when you read that description, in the association of Lord Nityananda, both Nityananda and Jiva Goswami were in such ecstatic mood. In one of the places that they went, Suvarna Vihar, it describes that as Nityananda was talking about what Lord Chaitanya's activities were, that he would come every day in just wandering through the forests, forested area, along the footpaths, and having sankirtan with his associates. And he became so ecstatic describing it that in his mood of ecstasy, Lord Chaitanya and his associates appeared. Jiva Goswami went mad. I'm seeing Lord Chaitanya at last. And he fainted. So following this, tour of Lord Chaitanya's places of pastimes in Navadvip, Lord Nityananda placed his feet on Jiva Goswami's head and gave him the confirmed blessing. Mahaprabhu said, go to Vrindavan. You should go to Vrindavan. But first, you should be nicely trained in the six darshans. You should go to Benares and study under Madhusudan Vichaspati. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has trained him very well. And you go there and you will hear from him. He's waiting for you. And once you become fully conversant in the knowledge of the Vedas according to these different teachings, then you can go to Vrindavan and take the association of Rupa and Sanatan. In Puri, we discussed this a little bit. Before Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, he was the foremost scholar practically in the whole world at the time, certainly within India, and if within India, the whole world. His foremost specialty was nyaya, or logic. And through the methodology of taking the scripture and following the rules of nyaya, try to come to realization of the absolute. So guess what? You come to an impersonal conclusion through logic and speculation. But he knew the system very well. I mean, more than very well. He was the most expert, along with the other paths or doctrines that study the Vedas and reach other conclusions. And this became very important. The biographers of Jiva Goswami note that he not only knew Lord Chaitanya's teaching, which he heard from A to Z from Rupa Goswami later, but he also knew the opposing teachings. So when Jiva Goswami became an author of transcendental literature, he knew the audience, the different personalities or different schools of thought in the audience that he was addressing. They would think differently than what he was teaching, and so he would make a standard that Jiva Goswami followed in his writing. Particularly, it's noticeable in the Sandarbhas, at least that much I'm familiar with. The system was, he would make a standard system, make his statements, support the statements by scriptural authority, and then state the purvapaksha. Purvapaksha means the doubting personality might say, what's wrong with this statement is blah blah, and to that blah blah I say, this is the statement, and give the scriptural authority. Upon hearing my response to blah blah, the person may then say such and such. And to that such and such, I reply, and here's the scriptural authority. And then others might say something or other. And to that something or other, I reply. And by that methodology, it's like all bases were covered. So that then and in future generations, the message that he wanted to put forward would be bulletproof. It would be impenetrable. Such was the scholarship of Jiva Goswami, and by Lord Nityananda's arrangement, two things, both very important. He prepared him, well, three things. He gave his mercy, and by taking him into the holy Dham of Navadvip, he prepared him for his future position in Gaudiya Vaishnavism of writing transcendental literature, fully qualified to explain it to all audiences. And he gave him residence in Vrindavan. By Lord Nityananda's mercy and Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So after studying under Vidya Vachaspati for some time, Madhusudan Vachaspati for some time, he then went to Vrindavan. By this time he had heard of the travel of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the path that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu traveled from place to place to place, and he followed exactly the place to place and met those personalities and heard further about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the pastimes and whatever he did in those particular places. And then he entered Vrindavan. When he entered Vrindavan, he was immediately inquiring about Rupa Goswami. And he was told that he would find Rupa Goswami at the Govindaji temple, because the Govindaji temple was the temple that Rupa Goswami had built for the Govindaji deity that he had found. Excuse me. When he went into the temple, Rupa Goswami was there. And those of you that have been into the Govindaji temple, a big kirtan hall. Rupa Goswami was there, and immediately, he was just a small child, so he hardly knew his uncle, you know, by in his mature stage. But he went immediately to Rupa Goswami, who took him as his son, because he was his nephew. He gave him his place of residence in Vrindavan at the Radha Damodar temple. In course of time, he gave him spiritual initiation. He instructed him to go to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and receive training from Gopal Bhatta Goswami in deity worship. And he gave him a deity of Radha Damodar that he would personally worship. And those of you who have been to Jaipur and have seen the Radha Damodar deity that was made by Rupa Goswami's own hand, such a beautiful deity. Maybe lesser known about Jiva Goswami than his writing is his deity worship. The affection and the intimacy with which he worshipped his Radha Damodar deity, the Vaishnavas of his time, the biographers, describe that Damodar loved his worship so much that sometimes he would play on his flute and sometimes he would dance. Jiva Goswami would go mad in ecstasy. Such affection. That place, the Radha Damodar temple, had a, if you're a little familiar with the where the other Goswami temples are, Madan Mohan, Govindaji, Radharaman, it's rather central. And so, at the Radha Damodar temple, this is what I heard when the first time I went to Vrindavan in 1973 or 4, because Prabhupada had explained this, it was Gurudas who was giving the little tour, that at this place, every day, the Goswamis would gather and discuss Krishna Katha together. In fact, they had it very expertly arranged. They've done so much renovation. It's not what it looked like at one time. So as you circumambulate the Radha Damodar temple, there's the samadhis of many great Vaishnavas as you're facing the deity to the left, so there's this parikrama marg going around. But it used to be that you would go down, and down there was a big stone slab, and down there was a place where it was very cool in the hot summers, and the Goswamis could sit there and have their Krishna Katha in their peaceful, calm, cool Krishna Katha together. And for hours they would discuss Krishna Katha together. The deity worship, again, because of its central location and the position of Jiva Goswami, after Rupa and Sanatan Goswami left this world, he became the next successor in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say self-effulgent Acharya, the one who everyone accepted unquestioning as the superlative Vaishnav amongst the followers of Lord Chaitanya. So other deities gradually became worshipped there also. One of those deities is the Govardhan Shila that was worshipped by Sanatan Goswami, not only worshipped by, but circumambulated. You may have seen when you've gone to Vrindavan, the Radhadamodar temple, in the front, they have this very nice, large Shila of Govardhan from the time when Sanatan Goswami was living by Govardhan Hill and was, at the age of 80, was still doing his full Govardhan Prakrama every day. And Krishna had indicated, it's very difficult for you at this age. You don't need to do this anymore. You're a perfected soul. But Sanatana Goswami's mood was, I've taken a vow. I must. Somehow I must. So Krishna made an arrangement. He put his foot in one shila, and the imprint of a calf and the imprint of a stick for herding the cows, and said, you circumambulate this shila four times, it is as good as Govardhan Prakrama. So he worshipped that deity and did his Govardhan Prakrama in that way until his passing. When he left this world, the body of Sanatana Goswami was taken in a grand procession to his present samadhi behind the Madan Mohan temple, and the Govardhan Shila was taken to the Radhadamodar temple. In addition to the Shila of Sanatana Goswami, there are deities of Jayadev Goswami, first Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, Radhadamodar, Radha Vrindavan Chandra, then Radhadamodar, then the deities of Jayadev Goswami, Radha Madhava, and the deities of Bhugarbha Goswami in the courtyard of the Radhadamodar temple. If you're looking at the deity, to the right is the Bhajan Kutir and the Samadhi of Rupa Goswami. On the Prakrama Marg, all the way against the far wall, there's another Samadhi, and that's the Samadhi of Bhugarbha Goswami. Bhugarbha Goswami, along with Lokanath, were very intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his deities, his Radha Krishna deities, are also on that altar at the Radhadamodar temple. But even people that aren't Vaishnavas know, these scholars are coming to know more and more of Jiva Goswami because his writings are superlative. Radhika Raman, devotee who did his PhD on a part of just a few verses from Jiva Goswami Sandarbhas, described in Oxford University, it's becoming like very fashionable to do PhD thesis on Jiva Goswami's writings because they're so exquisite and compelling. Devotees and worldly people, I took a course at the Vrindavan Institute for Higher Education that Gopi Pranadana Prabhu gave on Tattva Sandarbha. And because there was no BBT publication of Tattva Sandarbha, he had to use another edition, something like what Prabhupada did when his manuscript for Bhagavad Gita was stolen. So just to have the verses in his hand, he got a Ramakrishna Mission Bhagavad Gita and smashed the wrong conclusions that were being presented, the wrong message. So Gopi did the same thing. He was a scholar, University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school, did his PhD on one of the six Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, following the commentary of Baladev Vidyabhusan. And I won't mention the person's name, so you won't go and get a copy. But Gopi said, at the end, his scholarship was pristine. But he also made his comments, they're totally impersonal. And after he finished writing his commentary on Jiva Goswami's Tattva Sandarbha, he got his PhD, went to Sringeri Math and took sannyas from Mayavadis. So scholarship alone doesn't do it. Even in contact with commentaries, with writings of our great acharyas and Baladev's commentary, he had some offensive, nasty things to say about Baladev directly in his so he would do the translation. Baladev said, and then, because Baladev Vidyabhusan made a commentary on Tattva Sandarbha, and then make some remarks about Baladev, and then make his own. But he was being scholarly and, you know, saying, you know, this is what Jiva Goswami says, this is what Baladev says, and this is what I say. So Jiva Goswami wrote about 25 books, and the Sanskrit verses count up to 400,000 Sanskrit verses. Just to get some idea of what's 400,000 verses like, in Bhagavad Gita, 700 verses. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 verses. In Mahabharata, 100,000 verses. So it's like, in his lifetime, along with everything else that he was doing, it's like writing 2 or 2.5 Mahabharats, about 6 or 7 Bhagavatams, and a few Bhagavad Gitas and a few other books. He wasn't Vyasadeva. It was Jiva Goswami. And the verses, when you read them, one of the books that he wrote was a commentary on Sri Brahma Samhita. Any of you have read Sri Brahma Samhita? It's way up there, right? It's Bhaktisiddhanta's translation, basically, of not just word-for-word translation, but his rendering of Jiva Goswami's commentary on Sri Brahma Samhita. His verses were very, very elevated. His writings. Very high. 400,000 such verses. One of the books that he wrote was following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Hari Namamrita Vyakarana. And part of the training in Sanskrit, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a Sanskrit teacher, after he became initiated by Ishwara Puri, and he came back and he was teaching the same subjects he taught before he went to receive initiation, but all he could do was speak about Krishna. So Vyakarana are rules of Sanskrit composition and grammar. And what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did was everything was understood in terms of a name of Krishna. And he just eventually just gave up teaching. But that format was followed by Jiva Goswami, and he wrote the book. And to this day, Vaishnava schools that teach Sanskrit, I don't know if it's still current, but I know at one time in our Vrindavan Gurukul, they were teaching Vyakrana, one of the angas of Sanskrit training, by this very book by Jiva Goswami, where every rule is connected to a name of Krishna, like, you know, to help you remember the rule, but to think of Krishna while learning Sanskrit. He wrote a commentary on Gayatri Mantra following the teaching of Agni Purana, because part of the audience, the spiritual social network at the time, is there were a lot of people that weren't Vaishnavas that were studying the Vedas. And those people either take Gayatri Mantra as worship of the sun or sun god, or worship of the sun in order to achieve impersonal realization of Brahman. Take your pick. That was the audience. So he wrote a commentary explaining its worship of Krishna, taken directly from Agni Purana, because Agni is fire, the sun god. People think it's worshipping the sun god. He does the same thing. He wrote three different commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, how many here have read Srimad Bhagavatam? What to speak of, write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, what to speak of three different commentaries? One of the commentaries he wrote was like Prabhupada's, verse by verse, for the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he went again and did a commentary just on the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. Very deep, on very sensitive subject matters that worldly people don't understand, and Jiva Goswami set the record straight. But the third, the text for which he's most well known is the Sandarbhas, which is a very unique composition in that it's by subject, not by verse by verse or chapter by chapter or canto by canto. It's by subject. He received the notes of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, from whom he received training in deity worship and became ecstatic in deity worship through his training. Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave him his notes that he had kept since childhood, which means since he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his assiduous study of the Vedic scriptures, and in particular Srimad Bhagavatam, but not only Srimad Bhagavatam, his thorough study, subject matter by subject matter, and under the heading of a certain subject matter, different quotes that would illustrate particular teachings of Lord Chaitanya, because Gopal Bhatta Goswami had heard Lord Chaitanya's teachings for 4 months as a child. And it wasn't just like, you know, in one ear and out the other, because he was only a child. He had a different capacity than most children. So all of his notes, very carefully kept, were handed over to Jiva Goswami with two requests from Gopal Bhatta. Put it in a form that it can then be published to express the teachings of Lord Chaitanya based on Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic literatures. And the second request was, don't put my name in the book. Because that was Gopal Bhatta's mood. He didn't want attention drawn to himself. He wanted attention drawn to Krishna. So, in his Mangalacharana, very cleverly and expertly, Jiva Goswami says that one learned Bhatta didn't mention his name. Bhatta means a learned personality. One learned Bhatta gave to one insignificant jiva, jivakaha is a diminutive term of a jiva, some notes. And now we find this literature, the Sandarbhas. There's the Sandarbhas are brilliant expositions on various subject matters that are important for devotees to know. There are seven parts. The first part is the Tattva Sandarbha, where the way the means of knowing the subject matter that he wants to speak about, Krishna, the Prameya Khanda, the means of knowing the topic about Krishna, is very elaborately discussed, brilliantly discussed. Why Srimad Bhagavatam is the best means to know about Krishna, and then from Srimad Bhagavatam he goes on the truth about Krishna, Tattva Sandarbha. Then the other Sandarbhas follow, Bhagavat Sandarbha, Preeti Sandarbha, Krama Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, Paramatma Sandarbha, covering the full range of subjects of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in addition to writing his own transcendental writings, one of his books was Gopal Champu. And there's some nice history behind this Gopal Champu. One time there was a Digvijay Pandit. We know about this from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. Keshava Kashmiri, the Brahmana from Kashmir, came to Navadvip. And Lord Chaitanya defeated Keshava Kashmiri, although he was just a young man, school teacher. Similarly, a Digvijay Pandit came to Vrindavan. It was like one of those things. It was, a symptom of the age. People that were like really smart. They didn't just like become professors of universities. They went around and debating people, challenging people to debate. And the Digvijay Pandit came to Vrindavan. And he heard in Vrindavan the most learned personality is Rupa Goswami. So right away he went to Rupa Goswami's residence and challenged him to debate. Rupa Goswami said, you're such an elevated scholar. How could I possibly debate you? Let me sign your note that says you've defeated me. Just like that. Having no interest, no business in any kind of mundane wrangling with a proud scholar. In course of time, Jiva Goswami came to know that this man is saying, Rupa Goswami has been defeated by the Digvijay Pandit. So he approached the Digvijay Pandit and said, I don't believe it. I'm a disciple of Rupa Goswami and I accept your challenge for debate. And he soundly defeated the Digvijay Pandit. The biographies describe that said he was so mortified, he passed stool in his pants. Sorry, right in the temple. He was so shamed and devastated. Hearing this, Rupa Goswami called Jiva Goswami. What have you done? Why have you engaged in debate with a mundane, puffed up personality? Well, he was disgracing your name. He was giving you a bad name and calling you bad names. It was just protecting your honor. You're my spiritual master. But this is a foolish person. And in Vrindavan, there's no room for pride. I think you should take some residence outside of Vrindavan for some time. On the order of Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami left. Not totally left, but he went some distance up the river Jamuna And he made his residence in a cave along the side of the riverbank, like Haridas Thakur, like completely renounced. And while there, he wrote a book named Gopal Champu. And in the book, Gopal Champu, it says something that the six Goswamis don't normally say. But he said, because it was a prevalent view at the time, so he supported the prevalent view at the time rather than defeating the prevalent view of those who weren't followers of Lord Chaitanya. And the issue had to do with Swakiya and Parakiya Rasa. You know the difference between the two. Swakiya is love in marriage, and Parakiya is love outside of marriage. So socially, love outside of marriage is a no-no. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted, and the Goswamis in turn accepted, that the love of Radha for Krishna is the highest form expression of love. But there were other people in Vrindavan at the time who had a different point of view. They didn't like that idea. And so they strongly presented the other idea. No, Swakiya, not Parakiya. So in Gopal Champu, one section is where he, Jiva Goswami, is writing. It's a little cameo presentations of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. He speaks in favor of Swakiya. But he was so unhappy doing that, he threw the book into the river, downstream. Sanatana Goswami was taking his bath in the river Jamuna, and he saw this book on palm leaves floating by, and he reached out and took the book, and he recognized the handwriting of Jiva Goswami. It had been nearly a year that Jiva Goswami was gone. So he knew, he's upstream. So he went and found Jiva Goswami and said, I think you've been away long enough. Let's go back to Vrindavan. But Rupa Goswami has told me I'm to leave, that I'll take care of that. You come with me. So Sanatana Goswami came to Rupa Goswami's residence and said, I have a question for you. Yes. According to the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what's the most important quality of a Vaishnava? Immediately, Rupa Goswami said, Jiva Daya. And Sanatana Goswami said, very good, here's one Jiva. Give your mercy to him. He learned his lesson. Whatever you wanted to teach him, he's learned. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes about this in his commentary on Sri Brahma Samhita, where he says, he doesn't get explicit like I've done, but he says, Jiva Goswami has written in a certain way on this subject matter of Swakiya Parakiya. But one should not take it that Jiva Goswami is supporting Swakiya. He's a follower of Lord Chaitanya and Rupa Goswami. He supports Parakiya Rasa. And that's the reference. It says Gopal Champu. And Madhava Mahotsav is another wonderful book by Jiva Goswami. It's a very intricate, very sublime depiction of a story where Radharani becomes queen of Vrindavan. But instead of saying Radha Mahotsav, it's Madhav Mahotsav, because Krishna is participating in the ceremony of Radharani becoming the queen of Vrindavan. Very fascinating text. And many other books. Many other books. In addition to writing his own books, He was a visionary. He understood. He wasn't just a literary person and doing some deity worship where Krishna plays his flute for him. But he was an acharya for the whole line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's. Here's some of the things that are Jiva Goswami's contributions. He had a team of brahmanas making copies by hand of all the books of the Goswamis so that future generations would have them. Thank you, Jiva Goswami, for such an act. And there was one very wealthy personality who really appreciated Jiva Goswami, and he, through his contribution, established a library where those books were kept. Jiva Goswami, understanding that in the future, the very sacred place of Radha Kund and Shama Kund might fall into someone else's hands, and who knows. So very thinking ahead, he had that piece of land put in the name of Raghunath Das Goswami, because he had no children. And no children could then say, hey, now it's mine. And assisted Raghunath Das Goswami in the act of excavating what we now see as Radhakund and Shamakund, because previously it was very simple under Raghunath Das Goswami's supervision. We now have Radhakund Shamakund as we know it today. Jiva Goswami taught the foremost of the next in the line of disciplic succession, Srinivasacharya, Narottamananda, and Shamananda, and began the first traveling Sankirtan party. You have traveling Sankirtan parties here in India. His was the first, with bullock cart and handwritten copies of the Goswami literature. He trained them in the teachings of the Goswamis personally, and then sent them out to preach, having that a qualification and the literatures themselves. Those of you that have been to Sanatan Goswami's Samadhi near Madan Mohan Temple, as you're looking at his samadhi over to the left, there's also some samadhis. And you look way in the far left corner, like, you know, 10 o'clock, if you're looking straight ahead. In that far corner, there's a Grantha Samadhi. And some of the writings of Rupa Goswami were so elevated, Jiva Goswami made the decision that he would put them in samadhi, because people in future generations wouldn't understand them. They would misunderstand them. Such was the stature of Jiva Goswami. And I haven't heard of anybody trying to dig them up and find out what's in those, because by now they're gone. But he had a vision of carrying forward the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First was receiving mercy, then receiving training, and fixing his consciousness through that discipline of deity worship and hearing from Rupa Goswami, assisting Rupa Goswami. One of the things that Rupa Goswami had Jiva Goswami do was he would have him prepare the plantain leaves for Rupa Goswami's writing. Although he's super scholar, he was engaged in menial service to his spiritual master. And so many other qualifications enabled him, entitled him to this position of the successor behind Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, foremost amongst Lord Chaitanya's associates. After the passing of Lord Nityananda, it's described in Bhakti Ratnakar that Mother Janava the wife of Lord Nityananda, she made a visit to Vrindavan. And where did she come first? She came to Radha Damodar and Jiva Goswami, because that was the place where everyone gathered together. And Jiva Goswami honored her in a proper manner. He was the Acharya and saw to her necessities, and as she took darshan of each of the temples of the Goswamis, because she came bearing gifts for the deities, nice fine cloth, fine ornaments, and facility for the worship of the deity. Another great credit to Jiva Goswami's position. Prabhupada said about Jiva Goswami, I'll end with this. Prabhupada said about Jiva Goswami, in the history of the world, there's not been a more qualified, brilliant scholar than Jiva Goswami. So we're honoring his disappearance day today, as we're carrying on with our yatra here in South India, the places of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Hare Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Jiva Goswami ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.